this is the Library Talker, also known as Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So I have been on a reading binge, and sometimes you know how you have a reading desert, and then you have a reading binge, and like it gets really a lot of reading in. And these are all like physical copies instead of Kindle books that I got, and I'm determined to clear off this new pile that I created for myself. So 3 out of 4. Woo! This third one is Not the Witch You Wed by April Asher, and it's the start of a new series of very formulaic, very tropey supernatural romance books. And I can say that it's formulaic and tropey because it already has formula. You can tell exactly where things are going, you know exactly what's going to happen, and yet, cotton candy wise, it's just kind of fun. It has some stupid plot contrivances, it has some moments that you're like, really? But for some reason, where many books get me going about it, this one's just kind of like, okay, I get it, it's fluff. It's total fluff. It's not meant to be serious. It's not meant to be read with seriousness. You have to walk into this book going, this is gonna be fluff. And when you walk into it with that kind of mindset, it's actually pretty fun. We've got our two main characters, Violet Maxwell and Lincoln Thorne. And Violet is the firstborn of a triplet group, and so they're supposed to be like kind of almost charmed-ish in the sense that when triplets are born, the firstborn or one of them will be what's known as the prima, and the prima is like the Alta Witch. She knows, you know, she can put down wars and end famine. I mean, this is so Violet's grandmother is currently the prima and has all this power. You never really see her use it. She's got the wisdom and the years, and she's already done her part. But apparently before grandma was born, the supernatural world was pretty icky, and things had gotten way out of control. And so when grandma was born and took over as prima, became prima for the first prima in generations, so there wasn't a prima before her at this point, or not one that was alive before she was born. She came in, took over, did all this great stuff, and now new set of triplets, one of them is going to be the prima. Well, Violet was, you know, when she was born, it was assumed she would be prima, but apparently when the magic started coming, her sisters got magic, but she didn't. So she's known as the Maxwell Dud. She has no magical powers whatsoever, and to this point she's been pretty fine with that. But she's really caring and she's really good, and she helps supernaturals out, and she works at a bar for soups with, you know, some real and some fake magic potions for drinking, like alcohol. And then she also works at a community center for kids who are soups and norms. And that's what they call them, soups and norms. So basically, this is an alt-universe New York where the supernaturals are out. Everybody knows they exist. In fact, they're the stronger and powerful ones, or the pretty ones, whichever, are followed around. They have paparazzi chasing them and taking photographs and all kinds of stuff. So Lincoln Thorne is the alpha of the North American pack. And from what I can see, that means he's the alpha over every shifter, no matter what they shift into. And we have a lot of different types of shifters. So eagle shifters and bear shifters and wolf shifters and whatever shifters and these shifters and that shifter. So apparently he's kind of over all of them. And so we have him and we have Violet, and they were raised together and they'd spent years together, and she had been willing to give up everything for him. But the night that they were supposed to go off and leave and give up everything, he didn't show, and she went to find him, and she was like 17, 18 years old, and he was with his dad, who he previously had hated, telling her to go away, and she doesn't know exactly why. And it turns out, trope-wise, and, you know, again, this is all formulaic, trope-wise and everything, he had had, there'd been a run-in with his dad, he was protecting her, and the dad made him promise through a magical vow or whatever that not only would he never tell her why he had not been there, but that he could never tell anybody, and that it basically just closes up his throat when he tries to tell the story. So he can't tell her that the reason that he wasn't there that night was because she had done something that in the wolf packs would have gotten her killed accidentally. She had no knowledge that that would be the consequence of what she did. It was pretty tame. She just witnessed something she wasn't supposed to witness, but because she wasn't a shifter and she witnessed it, she was supposed to die, and he's protecting her, blah, blah, blah. So she doesn't know about all of that, so she thinks he betrayed her and left her for his dad that he hated, and she, you know, it, 14 years later, she's still kind of nursing this grudge, which totally understandable. I mean, she in terms of the tropey world that we're living in. And so, but he's still always kind of had a thing for her. Doesn't mean he didn't go off and dally with other people afterwards because he figured he was never going to see her again, or at least never going to be able to get her trust again. But, you know, he understood where she was coming from. And so, they managed to meet, meet again at the beginning of this story. And, you know, she's got the typical klutziness, so he has to be there to help her and save her from a few things. And it's cutesy and it's tropey, and you just, again, cotton candy this sucker. It just had its moments. It had some moments that were not great either, but for the most part, it was just kind of cute. And, you know, it was the re-meet cute and there we go. Well, you know, and part of the trope is a forced event that just would never happen. I mean, you know, granted, soups would never happen, but here we go. Their timing is almost perfect in terms of he has mere months before his 33rd, I don't know why it's his 33rd birthday, at that point, he will be forced to bond to someone or give up his place as the pack alpha. And then she is, somebody pulled out an old document or something that said that because she was first born, she had to be in some sort of bond herself immediately, and they got a 3-month extension. So happens and happily timed that her 3-month extension and his 3 months till his birthday overlap. And so they're going to fake it till they make it, basically. They're going to fake that they've bonded together, that they're going to possibly go through the bonding ceremony and everything, so that both the packs and the elders of the packs, and then also the supernatural council, will be mollified that they've gotten exactly what they've wanted, or at least they've gotten, you know, basically the Violet and Lincoln have a 3-month window to try and find another answer to their problems. So they fake dating, except for, of course, it's real. You know, they're falling in love. It's very tropey. But it's cute, and it's a lot. There is some tell, not show, but most of it is show. I mean, you can really see the kind of thing developing. There are one or two areas where it's like, and we talked and we laughed all night, and then it just felt right, and it was like, you're telling just a little bit there, but for the most part it was show, which is good. I liked Violet's character. I liked how she was sassy and spitfiry and talked back and had no problem saying what was on her mind, sometimes to her detriment, but, you know, and definitely had her own pizzazz or something. I'm not quite sure what word is not coming to my mind right now, but she definitely was the personality. And I liked Lincoln because he was strong, and he was, you know, the kind of big guy to defend things, but he also knew when to back off and let her handle herself and whatever the problem was whenever he could. You know, he had one mistake on that, but and she let him know what was what after that. She ripped into him really good after he stepped in where she did not need or nor want him, although one could argue she might have needed him, I don't know. But she let him have it. So, you know, she's a good foil for his personality, and they, you know, the sparks were there. And of course, you know, we find out that while she's been the magical dud, she really isn't a magical dud at all. You know, everything sets into motion, and we've got the fact that magic starts to come out of her, and usually whenever he's around or she's just thinking of him, she gets kind of purpley magic all over, and, you know, the normal stuff applies. A side plot is a very small part of it, is her sister Rose has entered into a contract bond marriage thing with another alpha of a European pack who is an absolute ass. And in the beginning it looks like, oh, look, they like each other, because that's where we start. We start with their pact, their wedding announcement, their bond announcement, their contract announcement, whatever. That's how this whole thing starts. But by the end of it, of course, you know, she's wants nothing to do with this jerk, who is constantly also a thorn in Lincoln Thorne's side. Nice naming there. And so by the end of it, you know, she's pulled herself out of that. But we start, we end this story much like many series in the romance world do. The very end of this story, the epilogue, as it were, is a setup for the next story, which is Rose's story. So we'll get Rose in the next story, that's coming in 2023, I guess. Let's see what it was called. It was called Not Your Ex's Hexes. It's again coming out in February 2023. So if I remember it, I might look up to read it. I might check it out. I don't know. But yeah, so this is going to be one of those very tropey, very formulaic, step-by-step, you can watch the whole thing, you know exactly what's going to happen moments, but the writer, you know, it doesn't seem flat. It doesn't seem, you know, while you can see the formula and you can see the tropes, you can also kind of see some of the joy, maybe, in how it was written and the characters themselves. So I didn't have a problem with this one. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being avoid, 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 you know, police tape, stay away, 5 being, oh my gosh, this is the best thing ever, 2 being, eh, 3 being, eh, and 4 being, huh, this isn't, huh, this is a 4, I'm gonna give it a 4. Just because, you know, it is what it is, and it doesn't pretend to be anything else. And it doesn't have, you know, we're supposed to be spooky, but it's not spooky, or it's supposed to be an original story, and it's not original. You know, it is exactly what it says it is. The cover is exactly what it's going to be, and it just feels like the author had some fun. Granted, she was playing within the tropes and within the story structure, you know, that is very formulaic, but she just felt like it was fun. It felt like she had some fun with it. So, you know, when you can find a little bit of joy like that, who's going to say no? Or who should? I mean, yes, there are some problematic moments. I've read some of the comments on Goodreads. I can understand where people are coming from. But from my point of view, just for entertainment value, schlock value alone, this is just fine. It's a 4 out of 5. It gets the job done. So it's Not the Witch You Wed by April Asher. Again, it's a supernatural romance, formulaic, tropish, somewhat comedy-ish book. Just go into it with a cotton candy feeling, and you will come out with a cotton candy vibe. So there you go. Again, I'm Library Talker. I'm Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com. And I'm a library lady on Podomatic. So that's where you can find me there, where this podcast is hosted. Thank you again for listening. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming and just, you know, tolerating my voice for the last 15 plus minutes. And really just thank you for showing up. So if you have questions, comments, whatever, please feel free to reach on out through either Blogspot or Podomatic and let me know. Otherwise, I hope you have a really great day.